Hello, lovely. It's Shauna Lee, and welcome back to the Soul Frequency Show podcast, where we're stepping into the light and raising our frequency together. Each week, we get to return to this sacred space to have conversations about the things we all experience in life, love, health, and career. A space where we, as spiritual beings, having this human experience, can amplify our gifts and remember our truth. The title of this episode is Dare to Feel. One of the things that we're probably all connected to each other by is our feelings. The things that happen in our lives, the experiences, and then how we emote about those experiences, whether it's joy, whether it's sadness, whether it's despair, whether it's, you know, something that takes us to our knees, so to speak, or something that really lifts us up to the clouds. That's really what this human experience is largely about, is being able to experience life in the third dimension and to process our feelings about it. And so I wanted to share this book that I think is a very beautiful, vulnerable, connected book about feelings. Those things that we run from sometimes or run towards. And I just thought that this was a beautiful example of someone sharing their lived experience, and not just the stuff that's easy to share, but the stuff that might be harder to share, really to help people connect with their lived experience and even the things that we tend to cast off to the side. And so today on the show is Alexandra. She's an artist, a best-selling author. She's a spiritual teacher and transformation coach. She's been featured as a guest speaker on many renowned podcasts and at numerous festivals and events worldwide. She's been featured on TV multiple times, including two seasons of Netflix hit show Too Hot to Handle. Her work has also been featured in the New York Times, Harper's Bazaar, Vogue, The Guardian, Nylon, and Playboy. And she took it upon herself to really dig deep in her new book and really share the things that she has moved through in life around deep feelings and living in a deep place. And as I started to read through her book, I was just really moved at the things that she was sharing. I mean, knowing that I've written a book and what it takes to share some things about your own personal life, I was really reading her shares and thinking, gosh, like the courage that it takes to, you know, share openly and honestly these things, all in, you know, an attempt to really help people and to really have them look at their own life experience is just a really beautiful thing. And she really takes us through this journey in her book with these like kind of heartbreaking tales of deep living, of living with her heart open, her healing journey. We go through all kinds of emotions throughout the book. She tells us stories. She, you know, asks us to crack our own hearts open to help process this. There's a couple things, like she had a failed attempt, she calls it, at belonging at a tequila-fueled LA sex party, and takes us into that experience, to facing parents' mental health and to facing love and letting go and different experiences like that that we've all been through, to facing addiction and codependency, all of these things, to her own spiritual journey, traveling to India, really diving into her, you know, spiritual experience and what these things in her life have meant to her journey. So with no further ado, I would like to welcome Alexandra to the show. Welcome to the show. I'm so happy you're here with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you sent me a beautiful book, and I really appreciate, you know, and I get sent lots of different galley copies of books, and I am trying to not read online for countless hours per day.
Me too.
I really am. I'm like, my eyes are shot, right, from all the online screen time. And so you guys sent me an actual physical book. And I just want to thank you for that, because I really enjoyed, you know, sitting down on my floor in the living room and being able to hold it in my hands and to read it. And so I loved that experience in and of itself before I even got to the content of your book, which is Dare to Feel, The Transformational Path of the Heart. And when it arrived, you know, it has this beautiful picture on the front of a heart. It's blue and the whole cover is red. And, you know, I don't think that there's anybody that's not going through things around our feelings at this time. And for a lot of people I know in my community, it's very amplified at this time. And so it's, you know, it's a good timing for this conversation. And as I sat down and started to read the book, I was really reminiscing, as you do, on your life journey about love and opening your heart and, you know, kind of where you came from in your childhood and the things that wounded you and how you've kind of learned and healed from those. And so we're going to dive into that today. But I wanted you to just start out with sharing and going back, maybe even, let's say 10, 15 years on your journey, and looking at like who you were then in your assessment from today, and take us a little bit on the evolutionary process to now the energy, the frequency that you're living in today.
Great question. So I've been consciously on a spiritual path for a long time. Since I was quite young, I had the beautiful blessing of my mom taking me to my first spiritual teacher when I was 12, though I grew up in a religious context within the Protestant Presbyterian church on one side of my family and the Catholic church on the other side of my family. But religion aside, my spiritual context was given to me by my mom, by the spiritual teacher via my mom when I was around 12. And so I've held this kind of thread of my whole life being a spiritual journey, and having this understanding and framework for life that I'm here to work lessons and to go through different classrooms of life. And that was what my teacher Bobby taught me when I was like 12 or 13. He said, you know, you're going to have certain classrooms that you're going to have to repeat. And you came all the way here to planet Earth to do that, to learn these lessons. And he then would explain to me how my dad was a teacher, my mom, and how they were helping me by teaching me hard lessons. So I tell you that because I didn't have, like, in the last 15 years of my life, some big, okay, now I'm on a spiritual path. But what I did have were these moments where the classrooms got, I would say, a bit louder. they got like, hey, you're not paying attention, right? So I have this one story in the book that all the stories are really meant to touch the stories in all the readers' lives. It's really not about me. It's about the universality of the emotions and the experiences that we all feel as humans, trying to open our hearts, trying to be loved, trying to be seen, trying to be understood. So I have this one story in the book that's called To Be a Woman Who Doesn't Pretend. And I think that, you know, a big lesson for me was like, okay, now how do I, a classroom, like I used that word before, was like, okay, I have the spiritual context for my life. How do I now really, wake up, be myself, be honest, be clear, not hide behind any masks, and look at what's under the surface. So I actually heard on this brilliant talk yesterday from this non-dual teacher. She was speaking about how a lot of people find meditation and they just sit in meditation in numbness. And it's an excuse for them to actually not go into the hard feelings that are buried within their soma and within their psyche. And that was me, you know. So 15 years ago on my path, let's say in my early 20s, I was like, great, meditation and yoga is going to solve it. And it was kind of like a Band-Aid in a way, because I felt like I got to feel that spiritual high and that connection, but I wasn't really diving into this, to the soil of my being that was holding the shame or the pain of the past that we all have. I'm not special in terms of having that. So like 15 years ago, I would say it's like, I was such a different person because I was on a spiritual path, enjoying it, but I hadn't quite yet had the courage to go, well, what's underneath? What's underneath the numbness? Or what's underneath my fear of going deeper in a friendship? Or what's underneath my turning away from having a hard conversation with my parents? And that's kind of where the real deeper layers of healing and therefore spiritual path unfolded.
Yeah, you bring up a really good point. So what's your perspective like on people, you know, being on a spiritual path? I mean, obviously we can be on a spiritual path and not really be looking at a lot of stuff. I mean, we can attend yoga classes and meditate every day and really not, just be scratching the surface, right? Like not going to those deeper things or almost holding within those like kind of real big wounds that we protect, right? I think, you know, our ego and all of us just really want to like dance in the areas around that, but not really get into the center of kind of those core wounds or those core feelings that we run from, right? That we numb from and that we don't want to look at. And we can kind of check a box and say, oh, I do yoga or I meditate or I do these things. I'm spiritual. Like, therefore, you know, I've handled X, Y, and Z. Like, what is the shift with you that you noticed? Because I think it's obviously, if we're doing that, we think we've got it handled, right? Like we're not aware, oh, I'm just approaching the edge of this and I haven't, you know, we can only see what we can see. And in our journey at the point that we're at, like for you having this perspective where you were kind of living this spiritual life and sure learning lessons, but then when you look back on it, you say there was something much deeper and that took me time to get there. Like, how can we become more aware at that beginning of our spirituality? Like, I don't have the answer to this. I'm just wondering if you've had perspective on it. Like, how do we know if we're protecting like really the deeper stuff?
Great question. I mean, I'm gonna defer to a master for this, the answer of this question, which is a very kind of overused on social media quote that you've probably seen by Carl Jung, who was a famous psychologist. Depth psychology is based on his work. You've probably seen his name around. But he said that the unconscious leads our lives and we call it fate. And so we look at our lives and we see the circumstances that are surrounding us and we're like, wow, how did this happen? Like we have this kind of like, how did this happen? When in truth, our unconscious is directing our lives. And so the circumstances are set up either consciously or unconsciously, right, by us. And that can look like, let's say, I don't know why I'm stuck in my money problems, right, year after year. So that's your unconscious because something in you is not conscious. And so it's continuing to create this whole scenario, all these scenarios that just replay the same thing that's unconscious in you. Until eventually, right, something sparks in you that, oh, I want to wake up here. I want to bring consciousness to this area of my life. Usually that is suffering. And from a like Buddhist perspective, that suffering is a great bell of awakening. It is the call to awaken. So we could look at it like it, in my book, it's really related to the heart pains. And it's like the places that we suffer in our friendships, in our romantic relationships, in our family that actually wake us up and that are like, oh, wait, this is a call to look at a wound because I keep having the same fight with my friend or I keep dating the same kind of guy. What's wrong with it? Is it just happenstance, right? Is it just quote unquote fate? No, it's my unconscious tendencies playing out, right? And so when we're like being called into the deeper work in our lives, it's usually because we're suffering. And sometimes the suffering has to come like with a, you know, giant metaphorical sledgehammer and go hit us over the head and say, hey, don't you see? Like, this is something you're not looking at, you're not addressing. And, you know, I've heard many times people say that the physical body is the last place that that sort of density of the unconscious manifests. So if we haven't listened to it in the other dimensions, that eventually it's like, we'll get it, you know, our gut will be hurting. Or I talk about this in my book, that like I would hold in emotions and I had all of this kind of constipation, IBS, like kind of stomach stuff. And it sounds kind of silly or maybe TMI, but it's more as a direct understanding of like our body is holding these experiences, right? And so at a certain point, even the body can break and say, hey, I can't hold this for you anymore. I can't hold these unprocessed memories or events or even emotions. You've got to deal with them. So, you know, to really circle back to your question, it's like, usually we're called to the deeper layers because we're yearning for something in our lives. We're suffering, whether it's a partner, a family, abundance, something, right? Health. We're yearning for something. And then eventually many people say, okay, well, what do I need to do to get through this suffering, to awaken past this suffering, to heal in this way?
I love that. I think that gives so much context and something very tangible that we can look to. Like, meaning if you're seeing patterns in your life over and over again that cause suffering, right? And once we've been alive long enough, like everybody has those things where it's like, I keep dating the same type of person and it's not working out. Or I keep, you know, when money comes to me, I'm losing it all the time. Like it's just like falling through my fingers. And, you know, I have this story around whatever it is, right? Health, money, relationship, love. And if that pattern is repeating and we're noticing that that pattern is repeating, then the unconscious, there's something there for us. Right. To learn about exactly. That. And the unconscious is at play. I mean, that's a really great, very, I think, tangible thing that we can notice in our life, that can call us into like, maybe there's something deeper, you know, here. So thank you for that. I think that's so helpful, to be able welcome. To look for that. Yeah. That was like really great. So you tell like a number of stories, which really impacted me in the book. And thank you for sharing, you know, the depth, because like there were stories that, you know, you talk about, there was shame around these stories. And I think it's easiest to tell the stories that made us sad or the stories that made us happy. I think people have a harder time dealing with the stories that they feel shameful about and mm-hmm. allowing, you know, I always say that shame hides in the shadows and when you bring it into the light, like it actually dissipates the energy of shame around them. Right. So like when we keep the things we're shameful about secret, it almost like grows, right? They're mm-hmm. in the shadows, the shame grows. And so I really felt in reading like some of the stories that you shared that we could really have some shift around the stories that each one of us carry inside of us around shame. So thank you for sharing that. But one of the things that, and then the thing that also impacted me in the stories that you told was like, there was a story where you were hearing your father having sex in the other room and mm-hmm. you took a glass and you threw it on the ground, like as a kid would do to kind of disrupt something that was uncomfortable, right? Like I'm mm-hmm. hearing this, I don't like it. What can mm-hmm. I do to stop, you know, the noise, right? To stop what mm-hmm. I'm hearing that is disruptive to me, and that it didn't stop it. And, mm-hmm. you know, in that moment, like I just felt your little girl and I felt like how, you know, as an adult many times in life, like your father's completely unaware that this situation's going on for you, right? He's in his own mm-hmm. world. He's having his own experience, right? He's mm-hmm. very much probably engrossed in that. And here you are as a child having your own experience that is causing like a wound, right? And you're mm-hmm. kind of crying out in that moment for someone to see you and someone yeah. to, you know, pay attention, and doing something as kind of loud and physically big as like breaking something is like, mm-hmm. see me, you know, hear that this is uncomfortable for me. Like, and to have that not be heard, like mm-hmm. just creates something, you know, inside of us. And we all have this from our childhood. Like it made me like stand back as the person just reading the story and say, how many times these wounds get created, like unbeknownst to any adult in the environment who might be a party to this, unbeknownst to us, who's just experiencing something and telling ourselves like a story about that, right? And having feelings mm-hmm. about that. And so, you know, it really brought me back to like my childhood and, you know, the things, the littlest moments sometimes create the biggest wounds. Right. And we can't like always, you know, control that, right? It's part of the human experience and we can't mm-hmm. stop it from happening. And even, you know, as an adult now, and I have a child, like I'm so aware, right, of these things and like how, you know, I love him so much, but I can't prevent him from having wounds. It's part of the experience. I mean, I want to, like, I want to, right? But it's, you know, it's part of the journey. And so like that moment just was really impactful, you know, for me in the story. And maybe you want to share a little bit about your discovery, you know, after the fact, and throughout your life and as you became an adult about that moment.
Yeah, thank you. I love the reflection. I mean, that's the purpose of the book, is for it to make you reflect on your own experiences. Maybe it's not the exact experience, of course it won't be, but that we all had moments, right, where we were hurt, we weren't seen, where we felt misunderstood, where we felt so afraid. And those moments made us close down, right, or stop speaking up, or they had some impact, usually not all of them, but there are certain ones that had an impact on us, and they've impacted our intimacy and the way we love and the way we share and the way we show up in the world as adults. And like you said, it's no one's fault. It's not about faults. It's about how we ignore the impact of those experiences, or we work with it, right? Without being a victim, with saying like, yeah, that hurt, that was hard, and now what? And so, you know, that little girl who didn't have her needs met in that moment or felt unseen. Well, guess what? As an adult, I have a practice of needing to speak my needs out loud and needing to be direct about them and not assuming that anybody is going to preemptively know them, which is painful. I wish that everyone around me would just know what I need.
You know? I would love that. Wouldn't that be magical?
Yeah. And you know, when I was 12, all I had it in me at that time, or however old I was to throw a glass on the ground. But I didn't have it in me to go, hey, shut up, I can hear you, right? Like,
yeah.
But that would have been like, as an, you know, a few years older, right? Like a 16-year-old, maybe, but maybe I would have still been like totally kind of paralyzed with ick and like, ugh, you know. But as an adult now, it's like, I have to know the difference, right? So if something is uncomfortable for me, or if someone is doing something that is putting me in some sort of state of suffering, it's my job to voice my needs for the little Alexandra inside, or just the big Alexandra that's like, hey, I don't like that, I'm going to go, right? And so there's so much, especially conditioning in us, many of us as Westerners, as women, et cetera, that we have to be polite, or we should like sort of deal with things on our own instead of saying like, hey, I actually am not feeling that. Or like, hey, that's a fuck no for me. And that sounds like sort of basic psychology boundaries 101, but for me, that has been a part of my healing journey, is to, and it still is, and it's humbling because I think I've mastered it. And then lo and behold, some friendship, you know, saunters into my existence, or some friend starts to exhibit a pattern that I'm like, oh, I don't really need to tell her how upsetting that was. It's okay. I'll deal with it on my own. Or maybe I'm overreacting. And in that voice, I'm abandoning myself and that little girl who just wants to be heard and needs to be heard and say, hey, that felt really uncomfortable when you just told that stranger at a cafe about my sex life or whatever, right? That never happened. But, you know, and so that's the through these younger experiences that we all have had, we get these imprints that stay with us that we get to work on. And maybe some of them keep coming back around. For me, that one has voicing my needs, being direct about them, not assuming people know what I need.
Yeah. And you know what? It brings up a good point, because I think that, you know, sometimes we have this vantage point that we want to eradicate these things that have felt like a struggle point for us or something that's hard to do. And I do think that there are certain things that we will continue, that we'll continue to circle back around, and we'll continue to see new aspects of it and continue to get better at it and be given like the opportunity to practice. And with everybody's different energy, you know, it might be easier for you to speak up to certain energies that people bring. Mm-hmm. And then you might be confronted with somebody that it's like really challenging for you to say what what your needs are. And it's like in a way we're being brought the lessons that we need. And like, as we get better at it, like the lesson might become harder for a second, right? Like we might get confronted with something where it's like, oh, this one's, it's harder for me to speak up to this person, which is what makes it so great in a way, because it's like, oh, I'm being provided the opportunity to do the hard thing in this moment and not abandon myself and continue to strengthen the belief that I know that I can. Like, and that I will when presented the opportunity. And so I think we, you know, we get served when we move away from this idea of this thing bothers me, I want to eradicate it tomorrow. And instead say, like, in this lifetime, we're probably going to continue practicing certain themes. Like maybe we come to really practice those themes and learn them in a lot of different ways through a lot of different people and a lot of different experiences. And instead of relating to them like, ugh, like, I don't want this, get it away from me, you know, I just want to be done with this. Like, we can almost embrace it in a sense as like, oh, I'm going to walk with this and I'm going to continue to shift some energy around this. And I'm going to continue to show up to this lesson. You know, it's more of a loving state of being than get this away from me.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I love what you said about like different people bring out are scarier, right, to approach in a way with certain things, mostly because we love them so much and we don't want to lose them, right? Or we don't want to upset them because we love them, I think is really common. Whereas sometimes practicing some of the harder things with people that the stakes are lower, well, the stakes are lower. So it can be easier for us at times. And like you said, it's this isn't something that's going to go away. It's just part of the artistry of my life. And yeah, I totally walk that way. I totally, that's my path as well, for sure.
So beautiful. And another story I just wanted to bring up that I also like just loved is the story with River.
I love that story too.
I know. And it's so beautiful. And I hope everybody reads this, because it's just the way you wrote it just painted such a beautiful picture of a connection you had with somebody that I would say, I might be putting words in your mouth, but like was teaching you a different level of love. And, you know, I think there's people that cross our paths that really can open doors for us, like doors within ourselves. And you talk about it, you know, not being like your forever person, but a beautiful lesson in being able to trust and love at a different level. What was that experience for you? I don't know how long, I don't think you talked about how long, you know, that experience went on. But when you look back at that connection, you know, what did you take from that?
So I think I had a lot of relationships that were really deep and beautiful and had a lot of creative, kind of collaboration and connection, but I hadn't met someone yet that I had a deep spiritual connection with, and I had been yearning for that. And why I want to share that part is because I was abandoning that part in myself, or I was othering that part of myself. Like, I had been on this spiritual path. I had been praying and meditating and ritualing and all these things for many years, but I kind of was othering it. I was putting it in the back corner. And so I wasn't out, let's say, to my friends as the deeply devotional spiritual person that I was. This is, you know, some time ago, many years ago. And so what was happening is while I was attracting friendships and relationships that didn't include the level of spiritual depth that I desired, because I myself had been pushing that part of me aside, afraid people would think it was weird. Because when I was growing up, people did think it was weird. You know, I grew up in Marietta, Georgia. People would come to our house and, you know, we were spiritual and it was, people thought we were weird, me and my mom. So my mom was like teaching me how to, you know, like we would practice telepathically speaking to each other. And she would help me with intuition games as a child. And like, what color am I thinking of? And let's put our awareness on trying to turn off that street lamp with our minds. I mean, it sounds kind of crazy, but
I love it.
That was it. You know, it was a part of our relationship. So anyway, so I had this kind of internal, like, hey, you don't tell people stuff like that because that's weird. And it's like, and people are going to treat you badly, because that's how it was for me in Marietta, Georgia. But, you know, cut to many years later, that othering of my spiritual life or closeting of my spiritual life was causing me to not attract lovers that had a spiritual depth that I was desiring. So at a certain point, that changed. And this story in the book was one of the first times that I had was really met in my spirituality with a lover. It was like, I'm deeply met by this person who also is deeply alive in their spiritual self and is on a healing journey as well. And here we are, and we're healing through laughter, and we're healing through kindness and fun and like devotion to each other. And I was like, how is this possible? I thought that like I did my healing over there in the hard, you know, little, the door that says this is going to be hard. And I did my, you know, relationship love thing over here. And I'm like, how is it happening together? And it's because those parts of me were together. They were together. And so, you know, I would say for anybody listening, if you look at your life and you don't see all of you there, then you won't, like, that mirror reflection of who you want to see, if you're not including all of you, you're not going to be met in all of you, right? And it was paradigm shifting for me to be met by the masculine in this depth of spirituality, but also sexy and fun and silly. It didn't have to be super serious, and it didn't have to be, you know, some funny like idea I had of, you know, some yogi guy who was going to be all namaste about it all. And from there, the doors open for me. I'm like, oh, there are conscious men out there who are also like funny and silly and sexy and all of this. And you know, it was so beautiful. And I also feel like I had a real deep soulmate connection with him, and we will always be in each other's lives. And it was one of those special things that you say yes to when you could say no, because it's scary. And I talk about that in the story, that I felt really like maybe I was a dummy for going to hang out with this guy. And that by saying yes, even though there was some risk involved, emotional risk, not physical risk, but that this beautiful healing door opened for me. And I share stories of saying yes and the opposite happening. So the key is discernment and really listening. And in this case, with this particular lover, listening to the deep yes was true. And it was like, you know, all the angels clapping at the end, like, you did it. You made the right decision.
That's so cool. It's so cool. So where is life now for you personally? Like, you know, I think when you obviously sit down to write a book and you reflect on all of your life stories and you come to a point where you see through lines and you, you know, have this that you want to share in regards to opening your heart, like, where are you personally on your own heart opening journey?
Yeah. So, you know, nowadays I just became a mother, and that has been obviously, not obviously, but perhaps that has been very paradigm shifting for me in relation to how I see myself as a woman, as a spiritual woman, as a partner. As I was writing this book, I met my now partner. So our kind of opening to love isn't in the book because I was living it, and I don't really write about things as I'm living them. I like to really alchemize my stories and like be with them for years before I consider sharing them. Not all of them. There are some things that feel super safe and easy to kind of share and after the fact, not too long after. And I do share reflections and writings with the world about my life or using my life as an entree into other teachings. But these bigger, juicier things, man, I sat on these, you know, they're not small things to share. So
yeah,
there were things that I like, you know, that happened over a decade ago or something like that. So as I was writing this book, I was really like, oh my gosh, this book is about like facing heart shadows and, you know, blocks to intimacy and ways that we abandon ourselves and ways that we pretend. And all of this, I'm writing this while I'm like falling in love, which was the thing that I wanted. Which is the fruits of my hard work, you know, not to be sort of trite about it, but it really, I did a lot of hard heart work. I did a lot of looking at my patterns, a lot of investigating, you know, where I was lying to myself, where I was avoiding, where I was unconscious. And then I met someone who I kept doing the work with. It didn't just stop the day we met, but somebody who wanted to keep doing the work together and to make a family together. And that was what I wanted, you know? And so now the work is a little bit different. We still work our edges of intimacy, and we're working them in this very interesting container of being parents, right? Where it's like, when do I not speak up? When do I get resentful with him? Like, are we living the sacred life that we want to live for our daughter? Are we looking at our phones too much? You know, is our life reflective of the people we want to be for her? And so the questions have shifted, right? I am sure you understand being
yes.
mama, like,
yes. It's like,
and it calls you into greater integrity because it's like, we're like, oh, wow, where are we? You know, we can't really get by with being unconscious because there she is and she's just a beacon of love, you know?
Yeah, that's so powerful. There's something so, I don't know, like potent about the fact that you chose to write this book, and I've written a book too. And like, when you go to share, you know, I think sometimes as a consumer of books, you can read a book and you can read some really powerful stories and you're like, wow, that's so impactful, but not fully understand like what it takes to like put that down on the page and to put your right. name on it and to put it out in the world. Because when you think about from a safety standpoint, like it's one thing to share, you know, the things you've been through in your life or the things that you feel shameful about or whatever with a friend or a circle right. of people. Like, let's say you have like a healing circle and you share it with a circle of people. It's another thing to write it down, publish it, and have it go all these places that you don't know. Do you know what I right. mean? Like you don't know where, like who's going to read this or where, how it's going to be taken in, and you're just really putting your full vulnerability out there. Like for myself, it took me 6 months to like get over myself to like, I mean, I'm talking like on the floor crying, right? I was really like feeling vulnerable at that time when I was like putting and sharing some of the stuff that was in my book. And so when I read this, it's like, you know, you do need time to get to the place of sharing those stories and understanding. And you're also, you know, taking the leap of faith and the risk of like putting things out there in the world. I mean, it's a process. And I think there's right. something really, really beautiful about the fact that you chose to share that deeply and about your journey, about feeling and the heart space and the heart shadows. And that in your act of sharing that, like here comes love, right? Here comes this connection. Like there's something there about like you being willing to tell the truth at this level, not just to a friend, but to the world. And then that thing, that desire that you've had steps into your life. I just think that that's, and I think it's a great kind of archetype for what happens in our lives for everybody when we're willing to like tell the truth, and we're willing to, you know, speak up like we've talked about, and we're willing to say like, this is how I felt, and this is valid just because I felt it and not because I need anybody else to validate those feelings, and the shift that can occur in our lives because of that. And there's also no fertile ground, like more powerful, I think, than when you first have a child to be able to know what you need and to be able to speak up for that. You know, it's like the next level of learning, of being able to, you know, communicate with the people in your life about what you need, because there's a lot of, you know, that's a big change in life, like having a child and taking care of another life. And so, you know, I think you provide a really beautiful lived example of doing that inner work, showing up to it, letting it evolve, letting it teach you, letting it, you know, fuel your life for the next kind of iteration and evolution. And I just think, you know, I think it's really beautiful. I think you're really courageous, and that, you know, having a courageous heart is ultimately what, you know, can be very transformative in our life.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, beautifully said. Exactly. Thank you.
You're welcome. I want to thank you for coming on here with us. And I want to have you share where people can, you know, connect with you on social media and on the web and all of that.
So the book Dare to Feel, The Transformational Path of the Heart, is out with the publisher Sounds True. You can buy it on Amazon, Indie Books, Barnes and Noble. You can ask your local indie bookstore to order it. You can ask your library to order it. It also, I'm reading the audiobook, and the audio is really fun. I have background as an actor, and I loved animating these stories. So I would highly recommend that, though the writing prompts and the rituals are really nice to have in paper. So I would get also like either the Kindle version or the hardback as well. So you can get those rituals and writing prompts and like really kind of work your own process with the book. And my website is my name, alexandraroxo.com. I see clients one-on-one. So I do a lot of this kind of deep dive work with women, and I have done for many years. I love it. I love supporting women to help open their hearts to love, relationship, intimacy, creativity, sensuality. And it's just a huge part of my life. And I'm also on Instagram at Alexandra Roxo. I have a monthly mentorship community. It's a virtual space where we come together in practice and in discussion. And that is also listed on my website as well.
So beautiful. So many ways to connect with you and to connect with the work. Like, I just think there's no better time to really understand our heart space. I mean, as we start to live more from that space rather than our, you know, personalities or egoic minds, which is really what I think the big transformation going on here is, we're starting to really lead with the heart and lead with our intuition and learn how to, you know, have those be the guiding factor in our life. Like, I can't recommend this enough. So thank you, Alexandra, for sharing your life journey, first of all, in this book, and for hanging out with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, lovely. This is Shauna Lee. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Soul Frequency Show. If you got even one piece of valuable information, head over to Apple Podcasts and share a review with your takeaways. And follow us, because we got lots more goodness to come. We are spreading the love far and wide. And you know where to find me, over at IG at The Soul Frequency. Until the next time, love, here's to positive vibes and powerful awakenings.